is good to see all of you again this evening. If we have any visitors, we definitely want you to understand that you are our honored guests, as David has said, and encourage you to come back and be with us at every opportunity you have to be here at ESAD. We had a good number this morning, and I do appreciate that. I appreciate the good comments that I had after the lesson this morning. Tonight I want to talk about the prophet Isaiah. From Isaiah chapter 33, verses 5 and 6, if you want to turn there. We'll have it on the screen here in a moment. But in the days of Isaiah, might help if I had it turned on. There we go. In the days of Isaiah, roughly 700 B.C., the kingdom of Judah was facing some dangerous times. You see, the nation of Assyria was the world power at that time. And they were making their way from this area, the Chaldean area. You see the Tigris River and the Euphrates River coming out of here. They would go across the Fertile Crescent and come down through Syria, through Israel, and headed toward Judah. And they were taking captivity everyone that they could get power over. And they were on their way to Jerusalem. And as they drew near to Jerusalem, the people decided they needed help. Some advocated that they give themselves up to the enemy. Let's just surrender to the Assyrians. Others wanted to look farther south for their help. They wanted to believe that an alliance with Egypt would save them. And the reason for that is Egypt had horses and chariots of steel, man-made things that would help to deliver them, they thought. Well, Isaiah was sent by God to warn the people to not do either one. Don't surrender, and definitely don't put your trust in man. Don't surrender and don't trust man. Their key to their salvation was not to trust in man and not to surrender, but to trust in God. And that's the key to our salvation today. The Lord told the people through Isaiah that He would provide the stability that they needed when all seemed to be lost. So in Isaiah 33, verses 5 and 6, the Lord is exalted. For He dwells on high, He has filled Zion with justice and righteousness. Wisdom and knowledge will be the stability of your times and the strength of salvation. The fear of the Lord is His treasure. That's what Isaiah told the people. Trust in God when things look their darkest. When the day seems to be the gloomiest, trust in God. A wisdom, the fear of God is our treasure. That's what we need to do. When times in our lives, even like the Israelites, the people of Jerusalem, they wanted to look in other areas for their source of salvation. And God says, no, says, I'm your salvation. The New King James Version that we're looking at here says that wisdom and knowledge was their stability of their times. Of course, it is wisdom and knowledge of the Lord spoken of here. We look at other translations. The New American Standard Bible says, the Lord is exalted, for He dwells on high. He has filled Zion with righteousness, and He will be the stability of your times. A wealth of salvation, wisdom, and knowledge. The fear of the Lord is His treasure. Very similar to the New King James, but He is, or He will be, the stability of our times. We look at the New International Version, and it says He will be the sure foundation of your times. We sing a song sometime, our hope is built on the foundation of God. Nothing but. And that's what we need to look to. When things, again, when I mentioned a moment ago, when things look bad, turn to God. And though Isaiah has been gone for thousands of years, the counsel given to him by God still rings true today. The troubled times that we all face, the Lord provides the stability of your times. It's sad to say, but so many times when people face dark days, cloudy days, troublesome times that we oftentimes want to look in other places. Sometimes we look within ourselves to find the remedy, the salvation that we need. And the first place we need to look is always with God. To show this point is true even today, I want to notice the unstable conditions of our times and the effect that instability can have on people. So we have unstable conditions today. I believe most of you would agree with that. We face many disturbing things from day to day in our life. And you might think, well, my life is pretty pleasant. And the younger we are, the more we think that. But the older we get, those troublesome days seem to come closer and closer and faster and faster. But they're not anything new. Job 14 and verse 1 says, "Man who is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble." Even if it's nothing more than aches and pains, is there a day that goes by the older you get that you don't have those aches and pains? And sometimes they seem to come closer together, more often. But the older you get, you see more things like sickness, more things like death and natural disaster, and you realize that this passage in Job is true. Man is born of woman, man who is born of woman is few days and full of trouble. We live on this earth for just a short time. Some of these problems that we see from day to day may be peculiar only to our age. Job never had those problems. I remember being in school and having to practice in case the nuclear bomb was dropped. Get under your desk. You remember those days? Go out in the hallway and put your head between your knees like that's going to save you. But that's what they taught us. We talked today about environmental pollution. There are days when people get together in Bedford County and clean the Duck River. We face things like inflation today that Job may not have faced, at least not to the extent that we face it, or recessions where Job may not have faced it. And we face things like unemployment. We face things like AIDS, cancer, heart disease. And Job may have had cancer and heart disease in his day, but it wasn't known medically like it's known today. He certainly didn't have road rage, did he? To where people shoot at other people, try to run them off the road just because they got upset. Drive-by shootings. But the effect that these things can have can be just the same as what Job faced in his day. Because of some anxiety and fear are always going to be there. Others react with depression. Our age has been called the age of anxiety or the age of neurosis. Even Christians can be affected by these things. We can't help but to be affected by these things because we live in this world. And when we are faced with this thing, these things, it may cause us to murmur, like the children of Israel in the wilderness, to complain, like the children of Israel in the wilderness. And some of us may just simply exist in a state of joylessness. We're never happy because it may seem like we're waiting for the other shoe to drop. What's going to happen next? You're kind of like Eeyore in Winnie the Pooh. Oh, woe is me. We can't live that way. And some don't even seem to be disturbed by these things at all. It doesn't matter what's going on in the world. They're still happy Christians. Even though they may experience the same things that devastate others, they're still happy. They're still joyous as children of God. The same financial crisis, diseases, and uncertainties may affect them, but somehow they still find great joy and stability in their lives. So why is the reaction different? Why? Is there some strength that some have and others don't? Well, as Isaiah tells us, as the Lord tells Isaiah, there is stability in our times, in our troubled times. We go back to Isaiah 33 and verse 6. Wisdom and knowledge will be the stability of your times. I wanted to suggest to you that the more you read the Word of God, the more comfort you will have, the more stable you will be when troublesome times arise. Because you know where your comfort comes from. Wisdom and knowledge. And I'm going to interject here. Wisdom and knowledge of God and God's Word will be the stability of your times. The strength of your salvation comes from this wisdom and knowledge. The fear of the Lord is His treasure. That's what we need to have a respectful fear of who God is. So when we talk about the stability that's provided by the Lord, it comes through, as Isaiah correctly says, wisdom and knowledge. The New King James Version says, with the stability of your times. Wisdom and knowledge come with the stability of your times, or will provide the stability of your times. And that wisdom and knowledge can help us face life. Life is never going to be a bowl full of cherries every day, is it? Some days are definitely going to be better than others. Some of you told me I look like half a person sitting up here this morning without Marilyn. I won't say what some said, but it was funny. But there are things in this life that we face on a day-to-day basis that can really tear us apart. And more so if we don't have wisdom and knowledge of God's Word. It gives us the guiding protection that we need. The proverb writer tells us in chapter 2, verses 6 through 22, that it gives us the guiding and protection that we need to face the pitfalls of life. How do you deal with death? Look to God's Word. How do you deal with sickness? Look to God's Word. There is comfort found in the pages of God's Word. The proverb writer, again in chapter 3, in verses 21 through 26, talks about that this wisdom and knowledge can help us in life by providing comfort and confidence in times of turmoil. When our life seems to be upside down, look to God. Now, it's sad to say that a lot of people, when their world turns upside down, they'll turn to God, but once it's right side up, they forget about God. So they understand partly what they need to do, but they fail on the other part because they need to keep God in their life. God is willing to provide the wisdom to those who are willing to look to Him. James chapter 1, verses 5 through 8. But this stability that's provided by the Lord not only comes through wisdom and knowledge, but it comes through the salvation that He offers. Again, we go back to the New King James Version, and He talks about the strength of salvation. The salvation of the Lord can help us face death. I don't want you to raise your hand, but is anybody here afraid of dying? If you are, read the Scriptures. Because if you've been a faithful child of God, and if you are a faithful child of God, you have nothing to fear. You can have confidence that heaven will be your home. But if you're unfaithful, if you're not a child of God, then I might suggest you have a fear of death. And then I might suggest you do something about it. But if we know the Lord is going to save us in eternity, then we can face the adverse circumstances that this life throws at us. Consider the Apostle Paul. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning in verse 1 through about verse 8, he talked about that he had a strong hope. And in chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians, and again in Romans chapter 8, he talked about that his attitude was a result of that hope that he had. He was able to get through things in this life because of the hope he had in heaven. Well, what about you? Do you have that hope of heaven? If you do, then it makes this life that much easier to deal with. the ailments, the sicknesses, the death, and just the dark days that we find, the aches and pains of a normal life of getting older. Confidence in God, the hope of heaven, makes that so much easier. So yes, the wisdom, knowledge, and salvation found only in our Lord provides the stability we need for our times. Wisdom and knowledge primarily are proving the stability that we face in life. Salvation providing the stability to face death. And together, they provide that great wealth that the New American Standard Bible talks about and that rich store that the New International talks about in this passage. But what's the key? What's the key to this treasure that Isaiah mentions? The treasure of wisdom and knowledge and salvation from the Lord that give us this stability of our times. What is the key? Well, I believe the key to this stability is the last thing that Isaiah mentions. It is the fear of the Lord. We go back to the New International Version and it says the fear of the Lord is the key to this treasure. And as we note in other places, the fear of the Lord is essential. It's essential to having both wisdom and knowledge. Proverbs 1 and verse 7 says that it is the beginning of knowledge. Proverbs 9 and verse 10 said it is the beginning of wisdom. And so to receive salvation, it's necessary to be accepted by God, according to Acts 10, verses 34 and 35. And the message of salvation is given to those who have this wisdom and knowledge and this fear of the Lord. It is necessary also for spiritual growth, according to Philippians 2 and verse 12. You think about it. If you're not growing spiritually, you don't have the fear of the Lord in your life. If you're not growing spiritually, treasuring up this wisdom and knowledge, then you may dread one day to the next. You may have fear of what the next day is going to be. You may fear what the stock market's going to do in the morning. You may fear driving home this evening. You may fear what the doctor tells you at your next visit. It's necessary for spiritual growth. But why is this fear necessary? Well, the proverb writer in Proverbs 16 and verse 16 says, "In mercy and truth, atonement is provided for iniquity. By the fear of the Lord, one departs from evil." My daddy's not here tonight, so I'll talk about him. It's a good way. Rosalie's over here shaking her head. My daddy used to tell me, as long as you put your feet under my table, you'll do what I say. And you know what I did? I did what my daddy said. Do you know why I did what my daddy said? Because there was a certain reverent fear that I knew he would follow through. And by the way, he can't get on live stream, so he's not going to hear any of this unless you tell him. But I was scared to death. I knew what my daddy was capable of in discipline. And I knew that if he said, "I'm going to do this," he was going to do it. And I knew that if I disobeyed him, that I would be disciplined. I've told you the story before about all three of us boys getting in trouble, and he made us drop our blue jeans to our knees and lay on the bed in our underwear. Y'all ain't never had that happen to you, have you? And he took a leather strap and he started on one, started on the youngest, the middle, and me, and I lost count. That's how bad we'd done. Now notice I didn't say that's how bad the discipline was, that's how bad we had done. So he gets done and he says, "Have y'all had enough?" Me and the youngest brother, we raise our head with tears flowing down. And we go, "Yes, Daddy." The middle brother says, "I ain't felt nothing yet." So the discipline continued. You know, sometimes I wanted to get him out behind the barn, because I don't know if he had the proper fear of Daddy. But if we have a proper fear of the Lord, then we're going to shun evil. We're going to depart from those things that may cause us those troublesome days, that turmoil. A reverence for God and His righteous judgments, that should be an effective motivation, because it will help us to depart from evil and turn to God. The proverb writer in Proverbs 14 and verse 26 says, in the fear of the Lord there is strong confidence, and His children will have a place of refuge. A place of refuge. Because you have a reverent fear for God, God's going to protect you. When we turn to God, the fear of the Lord becomes a great source of blessings. And such wisdom and knowledge, salvation and confidence, refuge. Really, that's the fear of the Lord. Proverbs 14, verse 27, the very next verse says, the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to the one who turns, to turn one away from the snares of death. The fountain of life is to have a respectful, reverent fear of God. The essence of this study is for those who lack the stability in troubled times. Does that describe you? And they do so because they lack the wisdom that we've talked about, the knowledge and the salvation of the Lord. The lack of these things, they lack these things because they don't have a proper reverent fear of God. A proper fear of the Lord is going to prompt us to turn from evil and turn to God, where we will find His knowledge, His wisdom, His salvation. And that will help to provide, in turn, the stability in your times. And with that stability, we can rightly say, along with the writer of the Hebrew letter, in Hebrews 13, verse 6, that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? What can this life do to me when I put my trust in God? When I respect God? When I have a knowledge and wisdom and salvation from God? What can this world do to me? Nothing. Nothing. I want to read a poem to you before we close. God has not promised skies always blue, flower-strewn pathways all our lives through. God has not promised sun without rain, joy without sorrow, peace without pain. But God has promised strength for the day, rest for the labor, light for the way. Yes, God has promised grace for trials, help from above, unfailing sympathy, undying love. I like that. I like that. God has made promises. And if we're faithful and true to Him, then He will keep His promises to us. He'll keep all of His promises. But if I'm unfaithful, then I can rest assured that I will have the promise of eternal death. But if I am faithful to Him, then I can have the promise that He will always be there for me. He will give me the comfort, the strength, the stability of my time that I need to face all the trials of life. All the trials of life. Look at the life of David. And David, no matter what happens, when they misunderstand the Scriptures or forget the Scriptures, he always turns to God in prayer. Prayer is such a vital tool in the life of the Christian. I've had many of you say today that you've prayed for Marilyn more than you've prayed for a lot of people in a long time. And I greatly appreciate that. You know, since I've been here, you've done a lot of praying for me and my family. I had a grandson that we weren't even sure that he was going to live. He took his first steps last week. And I firmly believe it's partly because of your prayers. I know prayer works. But I know prayer works when those that pray are faithful to God. So it may be that you're here tonight. It may be that you're not a Christian. This is an opportunity for you to come to Christ and to begin to understand through the wisdom and knowledge of God's Word the stability of your times, to have that stability as a child of God. It may be that you're here and you've already done that, but maybe the instability of your life has helped to turn you away from God. You've looked for guidance in other places, like the people of Jerusalem wanting to look to Egypt for their refuge or wanting to surrender. God doesn't want you to do that. He wants you to turn to Him. So it may be that you've done like the Israelites of old, but you need to turn to God in prayer. God is our refuge. God is our help in times of trouble. And if you're here this evening and you turned your back on God, or you failed to look to God or pray as you should in times of trouble in your life, maybe there's something missing, something that you may need to repent of, something you may need to confess. So if you're here tonight and you find yourself in need of responding to the invitation, I pray that you'll make your way to the front while together we stand and sing.